Formal and Informal Curriculum, GCSE Sociology Podcast. Hello and welcome to GCSE Sociology Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the education unit, the formal and informal curriculum. Now, if you're sitting there thinking curriculum just means subjects, right? Well, you're only half correct, and that's exactly why this topic is so important for your exam. By the end of this episode, you'll understand the difference between what schools officially teach and what they unofficially transmit. You'll be able to apply functionalist, Marxist, and feminist perspectives like a pro, and you'll know exactly how to structure those tricky 12-mark questions. So grab your notes, get comfy, and let's get started. Right, let's start with the basics. The formal curriculum is the official statutory curriculum that schools are legally required to teach. This was established by the 1988 Education Reform Act, which introduced the national curriculum. Think maths, English, science, history, geography, all those subjects with exams, testing, and official syllabuses. It's visible, it's documented, and it's what your timetable is built around. But here's where it gets interesting. Alongside this formal curriculum, there's something called the hidden curriculum. This is the unofficial transmission of norms, values, attitudes, and behaviors that happens in schools without being explicitly taught. It's the unwritten rules, the social hierarchies, the way you learn to obey authority, accept boredom, and compete for grades. It's hidden because it's not in any official document, but it's incredibly powerful. Now, different sociological perspectives view these curricula very differently. Let's start with the functionalists. Sociologists like Talcott Parsons and Emil Durkheim argue that the formal curriculum serves a vital function. It transmits shared values and creates social cohesion. Schools teach universalistic standards, meaning everyone is judged by the same criteria, like exam results, which prepares students for a meritocratic society where you succeed based on talent and effort. For functionalists, both the formal and hidden curricula help integrate individuals into society and maintain social order. But Marxists? They see it completely differently. Louis Althusser called schools an ideological state apparatus, a tool used by the ruling class to maintain their power. Marxists argue that the hidden curriculum doesn't prepare students for meritocracy. It prepares them for capitalist exploitation. This is where Bowles and Gentis come in with their famous correspondence principle. They argue that the hidden curriculum mirrors the workplace. Think about it. Schools have hierarchy. Teachers give orders. Students obey. Just like bosses and workers, schools fragment knowledge into separate subjects. Just like the assembly line fragments tasks, schools reward you with grades and prizes, extrinsic rewards, just like wages and bonuses. And schools teach you to accept boredom and routine, preparing you to accept alienation at work. So for Marxists, the hidden curriculum reproduces class inequality generation after generation. Now let's bring in the feminists. Sociologists like Christine Skelton and Allison Kelly focus on how the curriculum, both formal and hidden, reinforces gender inequality. They talk about gendered subject images. This means that certain subjects are seen as masculine or feminine. Physics and computer science? Masculine. English and psychology? Feminine. This isn't just about stereotypes, it has real consequences. Girls are often canalized, gently steered, away from STEM subjects through teacher expectations, peer pressure, and the hidden curriculum. And this affects career choices, earning potential, and the reproduction of patriarchal values. One more crucial concept, the ethnocentric curriculum. Bernard Cord, in his groundbreaking 1971 study, argued that the British curriculum is centered on white, Western culture. History focuses on British achievements, literature is dominated by white authors, and the contributions of Black, Asian, and minority ethnic communities are marginalized or ignored. Cord argued this leads to low self-esteem, cultural alienation, and underachievement among ethnic minority students. This is an internal factor, something happening inside schools, that contributes to differential achievement. Okay, let's talk exam strategy. In your AQA GCSE sociology exam, you'll face different question types, and understanding the formal and hidden curriculum is essential for many of them. For 12-mark questions, often phrased as, discuss how far sociologists would agree that you must refer to the item provided. If you don't, you're capped at band 2, which means a maximum of 8 marks. So always start by linking the item to a sociological theory in your first paragraph. Use the Peel structure. Point, evidence, explanation, link. For example, if the question asks about the role of the hidden curriculum in reproducing inequality, your point might be, Marxists argue the hidden curriculum reproduces class inequality. Your evidence would be Bowles and Gentis and the correspondence principle. Your explanation would detail how hierarchy, fragmentation, and extrinsic rewards mirror the workplace. And your link would connect this back to the question. Therefore, the hidden curriculum plays a significant role in reproducing class inequality. Common mistakes? Don't just describe what happens in schools. Analyze the sociological function. Saying uniform makes students look smart won't get you marks. But saying uniform suppresses individuality, preparing students to conform to capitalist norms. That's analysis. Also, don't confuse school ethos with the hidden curriculum. Ethos is the stated values and culture of a school. The hidden curriculum is the unconscious transmission of norms and values. They're related, but not the same. And remember, differentiate between internal factors, things happening inside schools like the hidden curriculum, and external factors like material deprivation or cultural capital which happen outside schools. Right, let's test your knowledge with a quick-fire quiz. Pause after each question and see if you can answer. Question 1. What act introduced the national curriculum in England and Wales? Answer. The 1988 Education Reform Act. Question 2. Name the Marxist concept that describes how the hidden curriculum mirrors the workplace. Answer. The correspondence principle by Bowles and Gentis. Question 3. What term describes the process of steering girls away from certain subjects? Answer. Canalization. Question 4. Who wrote the 1971 study on how the West Indian child is made educationally subnormal? Answer. Bernard Cord. Question 5. What do functionalists believe the formal curriculum promotes? Answer. Universalistic values, meritocracy, and social cohesion. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. Okay, let's wrap up. Today, we've covered the difference between the formal curriculum, the official subjects and testing, and the hidden curriculum, the unofficial transmission of norms and values. We've explored how functionalists see the curriculum as promoting social cohesion, Marxists see it as reproducing class inequality through the correspondence principle, and feminists highlight how it reinforces gender roles through gendered subject images and canalization. We've also discussed the ethnocentric curriculum and its impact on ethnic minority students. For your exam, remember, always refer to the item in 12-mark questions, use peel structure, and analyze rather than describe. Differentiate between internal and external factors, and don't be afraid to evaluate by contrasting different perspectives. Thanks so much for listening to GCSE Sociology Essentials. Keep practicing those exam questions, and remember, sociology isn't just about memorizing facts, it's about understanding how society works and how education shapes who we become. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.